Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, let me just get right at it. Bow down, you idiots. You just need to bow down. Just bow down, because you're just a bunch of idiots. So just bow down and accept the narrative that we are being sold. Okay, that's the deal. So whether it's what's happening out in Portland and Seattle, those are just protests, and friendly protests, and not violence, and Antifa and all that kind of stuff because Jerry Nadler said so. That's just a myth. Don't pay any attention to the videos that you see if you're looking at them on YouTube before they're pulled down, or perhaps on Instagram, wherever you happen to see them. But that's just a myth. Okay, that's you right-wingers, you Bible thumpers, all you people. That's just a myth. So you need to bow down and accept the actual narrative on that. And then on the other side, on COVID-19, which, by the way, let me just warn you about something. If you ever go look online and like to see like death rates and stuff like that on COVID-19, if you go to like Worldometers, which is a great resource, it pulls in WHO, it pulls in CDC, a bunch of other sources. If you look at the death rates in Sweden, you know, remember Sweden? You look at the death rates in Sweden, where they didn't exactly play the COVID game by the American rules. You'll see that their death rates went up, and then they've been going down, 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 continuing to go down. But just ignore that. I mean, I know it sounds important, death rates and all with the COVID-19, but you just need to ignore that. Don't look at that information. I'm warning you right now. I don't want you to be triggered. Okay. But there's going to be all kinds of things that happen during today's show that are probably going to trigger you. And mostly I would say good. We all need to be triggered on several of these things. And I always have, I've said this for years. I'm not a catastrophist. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but I do regularly quote from the Star Wars prequel trilogy these days when Yoda said the dark side is clouding everything. And that's exactly what's going on. So I'm going to spend some time today talking about two different things. I'm going to read extensively because there's a bunch of information here that's getting banned and taken down. I just got a notice on my personal Facebook page about yesterday's show. They're pulling down yesterday's show. Now, if you were tuning in on radio or on Facebook Live or maybe listened to the podcast, does anybody remember what we talked about on yesterday's show? Had several callers. Do you remember what we talked about? Yesterday's show. And it's being pulled down. I got a notice. It's being pulled down because of COVID concerns. And yesterday's show wasn't about COVID. I don't even think I said COVID, coronavirus. I don't think I said anything along those lines because yesterday's show was about aliens. You know, and some of the information that's out now about aliens and alien craft and things that we found that couldn't possibly be made on Earth. All that was yesterday's show, and now they're pulling that. Now, what's going on besides that, set that aside. America's frontline doctors, I'm sure most of you have probably on social media, Facebook, wherever you are, have seen this and people putting stuff up on Facebook. It's these doctors that came out. They're working with Jenny Beth Martin, who's one of the original people with the Tea Party movement. And they did a press conference yesterday, which I'm going to get to, in front of the Supreme Court. Okay, so they said several things and they made some points that I'm going to play in full for you because you need to hear it. It's getting yanked all over the place, but it's not going to get yanked down from live radio. Too bad. Ha, ha, ha. So I'm going to play some of that. We're going to get to that. But before we do that, I want to talk about another disgusting thing going on today, which is really just an infomercial for the Democrats and trying to make sure Trump doesn't win in November. And again, just a little aside, for those of you that have listened to the show or watched on Facebook Live for a while, you know I'm not a MAGA hat wearing guy. You're not going to see me wearing a MAGA hat. You're not going to see a Trump sign on the back in my front yard. You're not going to see a Trump bumper sticker on my car. Although I do support much of what the president has done in his administration, I'm very pleased with a lot of things. There's things about him personally and his style, the way he communicates and what he tweets, yada, 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 that I don't appreciate. And that all kind of flows from my Christian sensibilities. But in terms of how he's performed his job, I think largely admirably. Okay, so I don't have any problem with that and actually applaud him on many different levels. But I'm not like a Trump apologist, okay? But it's clear that so much about this And maybe somewhere in the back of his in the recesses of his mind, perhaps he likes the fact that the world, especially here in America, absolutely revolves around him. But the longer we go into this year, the year of anything but good vision, the more obvious it becomes that this is really all about Trump. It has been for the last 4.5 years. It's all about the election. Russia didn't work. Impeachment didn't work. Collusion didn't work. So now COVID-19 and BLM, they're going to try anything they can to defeat the guy. And that is Trump derangement syndrome on the left. There is Trump derangement syndrome on the right, not nearly as much. And when I say that, I'm just mean obvious political idolatry. Okay, like the man can do no wrong. So today, one of the guys in the Trump administration, perhaps my favorite, is Attorney General William Barr. So William Barr today is in front of the House Judiciary Committee, which he should get a big fat bonus for wasting his time like this, which all it is a big anti-Trump infomercial from people like Jerry Nadler and Maxine, whatever her name is. I could just had a little mind blank there. Maxine Waters. And it's just like this droning on and on. I'm looking at this guy going, how is he not spontaneously combusting right now? So I'm gonna reverse engineer this a little bit, okay? So Representative Cedric Richmond, a Democrat from Louisiana, reacted to Attorney General Bill Barr's opening tribute to the late Representative John Lewis. Okay? Civil rights hero, marched with Dr. King, all that stuff. Barr, in his opening testimony before the House Judiciary Committee, which I'm going to get to, paid respects to Lewis, quote, an indomitable champion of civil rights and the rule of law, and highlighted his, quote, unwavering commitment to nonviolence. Now here's what Richmond, an African-American man, had to say about that. Quote, saying this to the Attorney General, okay? Quote, you started your testimony with eloquent words about the life and legacy of John Lewis fighting systemic racism, Richmond said. Quote, when you all came here and brought your top staff, you brought no black people, the Louisiana Democrat pointed out. That, sir, is systematic racism, he meant to say, systemic. That, sir, is, I'll just correct it. That, sir, is systemic racism. That is exactly what John Lewis spent his life fighting. And so, the representative from Louisiana said, I would just suggest that actions speak louder than words, and you really should keep the name of the Honorable John Lewis out of the Justice Department's mouth. So the best team, sir, is that what we're trying to assemble? Do you want the Attorney General of the United States, pretty much the top cop in the land underneath the President of the United States, do you want him to assemble the best team, or would you prefer to see him assemble a black team? What matters more? Is it the color of your skin or the content of your character? If anybody's making racist statements at the Judiciary Committee today, it is not Attorney General Barr. It is Representative Cedric Richmond, Democrat from Louisiana. Goodness gracious. And I'm just getting started. So when we come back, some more from Attorney General. You can hear from himself what he said, and then we'll go from there.
So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Bow down, idiots. That's the friendly, seeker-sensitive title for the show today as we're talking about what's going on in the House Judiciary meeting today with Jerry Nadler, who, by the way, was cornered the other day. I put this video up. This was kind of funny. And they were asking him about the violence in Seattle, specifically Portland, and about Antifa out there, and Antifa leading all the violence, attacking the federal courthouse and doing other things like that. And he goes, it's just a myth. Okay, Jerry. Pray for Jerry Nadler. As a matter of fact, let's just do that right now. Father God, I just literally, in the name of Jesus, lift up Jerry Nadler to you for wisdom and discernment and honesty, that you would open his eyes, that he would know Christ, and he would speak truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the Representative Cedric Richmond from Louisiana went after Attorney General Barr and said, it's systemic racism, sir, because you brought your top staff here today, but no black people. Which I asked the question, what do you want the Attorney General to have, the best team or the black team? I want him to have the best team. If there happens to be some African-Americans, some Asians, some Hispanics, men, women, straight, gay, whatever, as long as they're the best, that's what I want. I want the best. I'm down with MLK, okay? Judge them by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. So why would he call the Attorney General, basically infer that he's a racist? Well, here's some things that the Attorney General said in his opening statement today. The horrible killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis understandably jarred the whole country and forced us to reflect on longstanding issues in our nation. Those issues obviously relate to the relationship between law enforcement and the African-American community. By the way, I'm going to turn the corner and talk about America's frontline doctors in the next segment. Okay, so stick around. We're going to go there. Given our history, the attorney general said, it is understandable that among black Americans, there's at least some ambivalence and often distrust toward the police. Until just the last 50 years or so, our laws and institutions were explicitly discriminatory. There you go. He owns it. Good job. It was not until the 60s that the civil rights movement finally succeeded in tearing down the Jim Crow edifice. Our laws good use of term there, especially in the current conditions. Our laws finally came to formally embody the guarantee of equal protection. Since then, the work of securing civil rights has rightly focused on reforming our institutions to ensure they better conform to our laws and aspirations. What a terrible opening statement, right? That work, it's important to acknowledge, has been increasingly successful. Now listen, this is when it gets a little dicey. Police forces today are far more diverse than ever before. They are both more black police chiefs and more black officers in the ranks. Although the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man at the hands of the police, was a shocking event, the fact is that such events are fortunately quite rare. You can't say that, sir. According to statistics compiled by the Washington Post, the number of unarmed black men killed by police so far this year is 8. The number of unarmed white men killed by police over the same period is 11. Some unarmed suspects, moreover, were physically attacking officers or threatening others at the time they were shot. And the overall number of police shootings has been decreasing. Nevertheless, every instance of excessive force is unacceptable and must be addressed, as it is happening now in Minneapolis. Apart from their numbers, I think these events strike a deep chord in the black community because they are perceived as manifestation of the deeper lingering concern that, in encounters with police, blacks will not be treated even-handedly. They will not be given the benefit of the doubt. They will be treated with greater suspicion than a white person would be in the same circumstances. He's handling this very well. Senator Tim Scott has recounted the numerous times he has been unjustifiably pulled over on Capitol Hill. That's a U.S. senator. As one prominent black professional in Washington said to me, African Americans often feel, quote, treated as suspects first and citizens second, unquote. I think these concerns are legitimate. Okay, so good job, Attorney General. Does anybody have a problem with that? By the way, I'm sure some of you do. But he's just dealing with facts, okay? He's just dealing with facts. And then that would, some of this stuff is what led Representative Cedric Richmond to imply, not so subtly, that he's a racist and part of the problem. Okay, on the anti-police front, here's what he said. Unfortunately, some have chosen to respond to George Floyd's death in a far less productive way by demonizing the police, promoting slogans like ACAB, all cops are bastards, and making grossly irresponsible proposals to defund the police. The demonization of police is not only unfair and inconsistent with the principles that all people should be treated as individuals, but gravely injurious to our inner city communities. But obviously, I'm interjecting. Most Democrats in charge of inner cities, by their actions and inaction, actually, at a heart level, don't care. Otherwise, they would change some things, or at least try. There's no harder job in America today than being a police officer. When officers respond to any emergency, whether a catastrophe like 9/11 or an everyday crime, they do not set out to protect white people or black people. They risk and sometimes give their lives to protect and serve all people, and all people owe them thanks. When a community turns on its pillories, its own police, officers naturally become more risk-averse and crime rates soar. Unfortunately, we are seeing that now in many of our major cities. This is a critical problem that exists apart from disagreement on other issues. The threat to black lives posed by crime on the streets is massively greater than any threat posed by police misconduct. You can see now why the left would absolutely hate Attorney General Barr saying this kind of stuff. But I would go back to something our new friend Bevelyn Beatty said a few weeks ago when she was on the show. She said, hey, white conservatives, tell us the truth. Deal with issues that are not easy for you to bring up with respect to the African-American community, but are true nevertheless. Quit lying to us. Quit shielding us from the truth because of the color of our skin, because that is racism. And just tell us the truth. That's one of the problems with this conversation. Most people aren't willing to talk truthfully. Because when the truth falls into the room, a lot of toes get stepped on. Now, you don't use that for a weapon as a Christ follower, but it does naturally happen. You don't shy away. We're supposed to be people of truth. The leading cause of death for young black males is homicide. Every year, approximately 7,500 black Americans are victims of homicide, and the vast majority of them, around 90%, are killed by other blacks, mainly by gunfire. Each of those lives matter. See? Can't do that either. Okay, with respect to Portland, again, this is the Attorney General's opening statements today in the Judiciary Committee, which led one Representative Cedric Richmond, Democrat from Louisiana, to essentially say he's a racist. Finally on this. Finally, I want to address, this is William Barr, a different breakdown in the rule of law that we have witnessed over the past 2 months. In the wake of George Floyd's death, violent rioters and anarchists have hijacked legitimate protests to wreak senseless havoc and destruction on innocent victims. The current situation in Portland is a telling example. Every night for the past 2 months, a mob of hundreds of rioters has laid siege to the federal courthouse and other nearby federal property. The rioters arrive equipped for a fight, armed with powerful slingshots, tasers, sledgehammers, saws, knives, rifles, and explosive devices. Inside the courthouse are a relatively small number of federal law enforcement personnel charged with a defensive mission to protect the courthouse, home to Article III federal judges, from being overrun and destroyed. What unfolds nightly around the courthouse cannot reasonably be called a protest. It is, by any objective measure, an assault on the government of the United States. And Nadler, in the Judiciary Committee today, was trying to push back on this truth by telling a different story. But there is no different story. A different story from what's happening in Portland is a lie. That's why you got to know the truth. That's why today on the show, I'm spending so much time to just sharing these things, because Facebook can censor and Google can censor and Twitter can censor and other people can censor. But on the live airwaves, nobody gets to do that. What I'm saying is going out in about 7 to 10 seconds, and that's it. Now, Facebook live, we'll see what they do. But we're going to take advantage of the free air that we have. A couple more things from that. I'm almost done. And then when we come back, we're going to change gears and talk about America's frontline doctors, the big press conference they did yesterday in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. And I've got some clips from that and plenty of things to say from that. So cancel culture, here we come. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. How funny is that? Kind of. Not necessarily. So I was just saying before the break, right? I was just saying, kind of daring Facebook. Good. Okay. So kind of daring Facebook, saying, hey, you can't ban this, blah, 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 blah. And then our software system here in the studio that runs video and audio and then drives it into Facebook. So Facebook Live, so you can watch the show and we put the little graphics on the screen and all that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, that whole thing crashes. So this is I don't want to spend too much time on this. However, with moving studios, which we had to pull up spikes and find a new studio and then buy the equipment and do all this stuff, which God has provided most of that. We're on the other side of most of that. But still a little bit in process with lighting and things like that, and then just running into some issues, some technical issues here and there, which is exactly what just happened. So we had rocking and rolling on Facebook Live, and then the whole system called Wirecast goes down. We lose everything. So Seth, my intern, is in there working on pulling those videos because I wanted to play a couple of clips from the America's Frontline Doctors press conference, which was out in front of the Supreme Court yesterday. But let me finish up. We're getting to that. Seth's working on that. But let me finish up what Attorney General Barr was saying earlier today. This was all part of his opening statement at the House Judiciary Committee. I love this guy, by the way. And if you want to see an incredible speech from a really sound Christian worldview perspective, go look at his speech last year at Notre Dame. He just knocks it out of the park. He just does a great job. Talking about worldview stuff, too, as the Attorney General of the United States. Pretty awesome. So he's talking about Portland and what's going on there. What unfolds nightly around the courthouse cannot reasonably be called a protest. It is, by any objective measure, an assault on the government of the United States. In recent nights, and this is what Jerry Nadler said was just a myth, that Antifa is out there doing this stuff. all right, I'm just going to move along. In recent nights, rioters have barricaded the front door of the courthouse, pried plywood off the windows with crowbars, and thrown commercial-grade fireworks into the building in an apparent attempt to burn it down with federal personnel inside. The rioters have started fires outside the building and then systematically attacked federal law enforcement officers who attempt to put them out. For example, by pelting the officers with rocks, frozen water bottles, cans of food, and balloons filled with fecal matter. That's poop. A recent video showed a mob enthusiastically beating a deputy U.S. Marshal who was trying to protect the courthouse. property of the United States government funded by this Congress from further destruction. A number of federal officers have been injured, including one severely burned by a mortar-style firework and three who have suffered serious eye injuries and may be permanently blind. By the way, they were zapping them with lasers, these peaceful protesters. Largely absent from these scenes of destruction are even superficial attempts by the rioters to connect their actions to George Floyd's death or any legitimate call for reform. Nor could such brazen acts of lawlessness plausibly be justified by a concern that police officers in Minnesota or elsewhere defied the law. Remarkably, the response from many in the media and local elected officials is to this organized assault has been to blame the federal government. To state what should be obvious, peaceful protesters do not throw explosives into federal courthouses, tear down plywood with crowbars, or launch fecal matter at federal officers. Such acts are, in fact, federal crimes under statutes enacted by this Congress. Okay, cool. So you've got all that stuff going on out there. And if you haven't searched and watched some of those videos, if you're not an Instagram person, I would encourage you to kind of go down that road. Because you need to bypass, this is why Trump uses Twitter, you need to bypass all mainstream media sources and try to go to first source material, okay? Videos on the ground to see what they're actually doing, to see what they're actually saying. You need to see it for yourself. During the day, largely peaceful protests. I'm with you. But as soon as the sun goes down, the forces of evil get all stirred up. Antifa, some radical elements of BLM are all there. You can see them all. Antifa guys, now everybody's doing blackouts. So they'll wear the helmet. Most of their face is covered. That's not for COVID. They're wearing black vests, black clothes, black padding, all kinds of stuff. Okay, that's going on out there. So William Barr, who's calling all that stuff out earlier today, and then these guys turned around and just attacking him, saying that all he's doing is running a campaign program for Trump to try to foment violence, that everything would get better. Now, this is their ignorance. This is like the French Revolution or the French Constitution, which lasted 3 years back in those days, because they thought people are basically good. Newsflash, no, we aren't. We're hopelessly deprived. Not that you do terrible, wicked things all the time, but we are bent towards sin. We're bent towards the abuse of power. And so what they negate, what they refuse to accept is that human beings just do nasty stuff. And the more line you give us without a worldview, a functional, moral, religious worldview, which our founding fathers said over and over again, the more room you give us and the more you take that out, the more you get Portland and Seattle. And you're going to get more of it. So these fools in the Judiciary Committee, championed by Jerry Nadler, are saying, hey, things would get better if you pull the feds out. You got to blame the feds, which means we got to blame Trump, because these people otherwise wouldn't be doing this stuff. They're essentially being egged on and provoked by federal agents that are there protecting federal property. That's how these people think, which means they don't. It's all political and it's all about Trump. Okay, switch gears. So yesterday in front of the Supreme Court, this group, America's Frontline Doctors, did a press conference. They're very pro hydroxychloroquine, very anti-Birx in many ways. Facebook, Google, Twitter, and YouTube are censoring and removing the videos of this press conference. I've had a couple up myself. Actually, Squarespace came out. This was just earlier today. We have determined that you are currently in violation of Section 3.1 of our acceptable use policy regarding activities that's false, fraudulent, inaccurate, or deceiving. So they actually took down their website, americasfrontlinedoctors.com. Okay, so this is what's happening. So I'm going to play two clips here. Let's do the first one of the pediatrician. Pediatricians can be such a pain. So listen to this guy talking about students, kids, and school, and COVID. Very important truth that I want you to hear. Let's run that clip.
The good news is that children, as a general rule, are taking this virus very, very well. Few are getting infected. Those who are getting infected are being hospitalized in low numbers. And fortunately, the mortality rate of children is about 1/5.
Thank you all for being here today. I'm Dr. Bob Hamilton.
Are tolerating
the infection
very frequently.
California.
They're actually asymptomatic.
I've been in practice there for 36 years.
I also want to say that children
are not the drivers
of the pandemic.
The good news
is that children, as
a
general
rule,
are children
were going to
actually be the ones
very well.
To push the infection
along. Fewer getting infected.
Very often
we're getting infected
is happening.
Hospitalized in low numbers.
Kids are being, unfortunately, the mortality rate are not passing.
All right, quick question. Go ahead and pause that. Because I think that's echoing back. We're having so much fun today. Is that what's happening? Seth, are we echoing back? That's what it sounds like to me. Now it's clean.
People were worried about initially if children were.
So it was clean for a second. And then it went away. Anyway, so here's what he was talking about, okay? And we're working through this stuff. So just pray for us because new studio and all this. New equipment. We're just trying to get it all worked out, okay? And this isn't Glenn Beck. It's not Rush Limbaugh. It's not Sean Hannity, okay? It's just little old me. So just pray for us that things will go well. So his point is, and this is what the studies have shown, that kids are not spreaders of it. The overwhelming majority of them do not get seriously ill from it. And essentially, we need to send them back to school. They also talked during this press conference about all the other dominoes that are lining up as a result of keeping our kids out of school and out of social situations and away from their friends. So you've got all kinds of problems that are piling up. But the studies from around the world have shown kids don't get it seriously. They don't spread it. They actually haven't found a single case where they could link a child spreading it to an adult, including their own family. So these guys are out there talking about this narrative that's anti-Fauci, anti-liberal media, anti-the establishment, anti-the swamp. And so this press conference, which was about 43 minutes long, just upset everybody. And then one of the people that really went after it was this other doctor, Dr. Stella Emanuel. We'll try to play her clip after the break. Now here's what happened. Stella Emanuel comes out. She's treated like over 300 people that have had COVID. She's used the regimen with hydroxychloroquine, Z-Max, erythromycin. They use some antibiotics. It's like three different things that they use, okay? But the chief anchor of that regimen is hydroxychloroquine. So they're using that, and she's had nobody die. Everybody's responding. And then I looked at some other studies, and I'm going to read this article too, if we can't pull the video back up, from a gentleman. His name is Harvey Risch, MD and PhD professor of epidemiology, Yale School of Public Health, showing how these studies around the world, actual studies with actual clients, actual people that were sick, right? They're showing them all these numbers where it's worked and it's worked and it's worked and it's worked. And that's what she goes after it really hard. But then it didn't take long for the mainstream media and others to come out. Has she said some wacky things in the past? Yes. Does she have some crazy kind of, sounds like kind of prosperity gospel, some of the African teaching in terms of the gospel, some wacky stuff. But that doesn't change the veracity of the truth of her medical experience. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Okay, all you idiots out there, don't worry, I'm an idiot too. We all just need to bow down and accept the narrative that's coming at us about COVID, about Black Lives Matter, about the protests, about all that kind of stuff. Okay, so let's just take a knee, right? Let's just take a knee. Let's just bow down. Just be a bunch of idiots, a bunch of lemmings. Let's just accept what we're fed by the mainstream media and those on the left. And don't think critically and just assume every headline you see is actually real. And so share them without checking things out and just accept the narrative. All right. Just bow down, you idiots. And so that's why we called the show that today. Bow down, you idiots, which, of course, is me being facetious. But we are talking through these different things going on today and finishing up talking about America's frontline doctors. Now, everybody's not everybody, but a whole lot of people, Facebook, Twitter, all over the place. These videos of this press conference yesterday have gone viral. One in particular, Dr. Stella Emanuel was talking about. We're going to play this clip in just a second. And it's pretty long. So I want to get to it. We're going to play this clip. And she's just talking about her experience with using hydroxychloroquine, Z-Max. It's kind of a regimen, three different things that you use early on and how successful it's been. But if you bring that stuff up, because Facebook is now bowing down to the World Health Organization, and whenever the World Health Organization or the FDA, a trying to find this. When they come out and say, oh, no, 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 even though that stuff's been around for 50 years and has done all kinds of great stuff and it's healing people now, that when it's given to them early when they get COVID-19, no, this doesn't really fit our narrative. Why is that? Well, because that darn stinking Donald Trump brought it up before and actually took it. By the way, if you're a Glenn Beck fan, his kids just tested positive for COVID and he's taking hydroxychloroquine. So let's see if Glenn Beck survives the week, shall we? But this is back on June 15th. FDA, their Twitter account, based on continued review of scientific data, FDA has determined that chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine are unlikely to be effective in treating COVID-19, and therefore we are revoking the emergency use authorization for these drugs. Okay, let's play this clip, Seth, from Dr. Stella Emanuel, talking about all the patients that she's actually been treating. So I want to play this clip. Let's go ahead and roll the clip, and we'll see what she has to say about it.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stella Emanuel. I'm a primary care physician in Houston, Texas. You know, I actually went to medical school in West Africa, Nigeria, where I took care of malaria patients, treated them with hydroxychloroquine and stuff like that. So I'm actually used to these medications. I'm here because I have personally treated over 350 patients with COVID. Patients that have diabetes, patients that have high blood pressure, patients that have asthma, old people. I think my oldest patient is 92, 87 year olds. And the result has been the same. I put them on hydroxychloroquine, I put them on zinc, I put them on Zitromax, and they are all well. For the past few months, I've taken care of over 350 patients. We've not lost one. Not a diabetic, not a somebody with high blood pressure, not somebody with asthma, not an old person. We've not lost one patient. And on top of that, I've put myself, my staff, and many doctors that I know on hydroxychloroquine for prevention, because by the very mechanism of action, it works early and as a prophylaxis. We see patients, 10 to 15 COVID patients every day. We give them breathing treatments. We only wear surgical masks. None of us has gotten sick. It works. So right now, I came here to Washington, D.C. to say, America, nobody needs to die. The study that made me start using hydroxychloroquine was a study that they did under the NIH in 2005 that say it works. Recently, I was doing some research about a patient that had hiccups, and I found that they even did a recent study in the NIH, which is our national institute, that is the national NIH, National Institute of Health. They actually had a study, and go look it up. Type hiccups and COVID, you will see it. They treated a patient that had hiccups with hydroxychloroquine, and it proved that COVID is a symptom of hiccups. It's a symptom of COVID. So if the NIH knows that treating the patient with hydroxychloroquine proves that hiccup is a symptom of COVID, then they definitely know that hydroxychloroquine works. I'm upset. Why I'm upset is that I see people that cannot breathe. I see parents walk in, I see diabetics sit in my office knowing that this is a death sentence and they can't breathe. And I hug them and I tell them, it's going to be okay, you're going to leave. And we treat them and they leave. None has died. So if some fake science, some person sponsored by all these fake pharma companies comes and say, oh.
To this article from Harvey Risch, MD, PhD, professor of epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health. Okay, so she goes on to talk about over 300 people, cases that she's actually had. Okay, actual people with actual cases of COVID. And some of them were older. Some of them had asthma. Some of them had pre-existing conditions. And none of them had died. And all of them are doing better. And the turnaround was rapid. And she was using hydroxychloroquine and Z-Max, the whole regimen. And just seeing incredible results, which other doctors that were there were saying the same thing. Then you get this. Now, this is what's shocking. I'm going to finish the show with this. This is shocking because of where it showed up. This is in Newsweek magazine. Okay. July 23rd. It snuck out there somehow. Newsweek magazine online. Okay. Harvey Risch, professor of epidemiology, PhD, Yale School of Public Health. The key to defeating COVID-19 already exists. We need to start using it. This is an opinion piece in Newsweek, not exactly a conservative rag, right? I've just highlighted some parts. As professor of epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health, authored over 300 peer-reviewed publications, senior positions on the editorial boards of several leading journals, I'm usually accustomed to advocating for positions within the mainstream of medicine, so I've been flummoxed to find that in the midst of a crisis, the mainstream of medicine, I'm fighting for a treatment that the data fully support but which, for reasons having nothing to do with a correct understanding of the science, has been pushed to the sidelines. He's talking about hydroxychloroquine. As a result, tens of thousands of patients with COVID-19 are dying unnecessarily. Fortunately, the situation could be reversed easily and quickly. I'm referring, of course, to the medication hydroxychloroquine. This is a PhD from Yale, okay, Yale School of Public Health. When this inexpensive oral medication is given very early in the course of the illness, before the virus has had time to multiply beyond control, it is shown to be highly effective. On May 27th, I published an article in the American Journal of Epidemiology entitled Early Outpatient Treatment of Symptomatic High-Risk COVID-19 Patients That Should Be Ramped Up Immediately as Key to the Pandemic Crisis. That article was published in the world's leading epidemiology journal and analyzed five studies demonstrating clear-cut and significant benefits to treating patients, plus other very large studies that showed the medication's safety, talking about hydroxychloroquine. Physicians who have been using these medications in the face of widespread skepticism have been truly heroic. They have done what the science shows is best for their patients, often at great personal risk. I myself know of two doctors who have saved the lives of hundreds of patients with these medications, but are now fighting state medical boards to save their licenses and reputations. The cases against them are completely without scientific merit. But, sir, this isn't about science anymore. This is about politics, which means it's about Donald Trump. And I'm not Mr. Trump guy, okay? If you think I'm a Mr. Trump guy, you need to listen to this show for a few days. I support much of what the president has done, proud of things that he's done, other things I can't stand, mostly the way he communicates and the way he acts. But what he's done largely has been excellent, okay? I think missteps with the way he's handling this, yes. But overall, I support the president and his administration. But I'm not a MAGA hat wearing guy waving a Trump flag, okay, either. Since publication of my May 27th article, the PhD writes, seven more studies have demonstrated similar benefits. In a lengthy follow-up letter also published by AJE, I discuss the seven studies and renew my call for the immediate early use of hydroxychloroquine in high-risk patients. Beyond these studies of individual patients, we have seen what happens in large populations when these drugs are used. And then he shares a bunch of those, like 75,000 doses, 90,000 doses. A reverse natural experiment happened in Switzerland. Check this out. On May 27th, the Swiss national government banned outpatient use of hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19. Around June 10th, COVID-19 deaths increased fourfold and remained elevated. On June 11th, the Swiss government revoked the ban, and on June 23rd, the death rate reverted to what had been beforehand. Did you hear that? Use hydroxychloroquine, drive the death rate down. Stop using it, drive it back up. Start using it again, drive it down again. Why has hydroxychloroquine been disregarded? Okay, this was in Newsweek magazine by Harvey Risch, MD, PhD, Yale School of Public Health. First, as all know, the medication has become highly politicized. This is so important. Listen to this. For many, it is viewed as a marker of political identity on both sides of the political spectrum. Nobody needs me to remind them that this is not how medicine should proceed. We must judge this medication strictly on the science. When doctors graduate from medical school, they formally promise to make the health and life of the patient their first consideration. Do no harm. That's part of the Hippocratic Oath. Without biases of race, religion, nationality, social standing, or political affiliation, lives must come first. Second, the drug has not been used properly in many cases. Hydroxychloroquine has shown major success when used early in high-risk people, but, as one would expect for an antiviral, much less success when used late. In fact, as inexpensive oral and widely available medications and as a nutritional supplement, the combination of hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and doxycycline, and zinc are well-suited for early treatment in the outpatient setting. Third, this is science, okay, not politics. There's COVID-19, and then there's COVID-19 agenda. There's science, and then there's scientism. This is philosophy. This is worldview. This is politics. Third, concerns have been raised by the FDA and others about risk of cardiac arrhythmia, especially when hydroxychloroquine is given in combination with azithromycin. But what the FDA did not announce is that these adverse events were generated from tens of millions of patient uses of hydroxychloroquine for long periods of time, often for the chronic treatment of lupus or rheumatoid arthritis. They're not even talking in context. It's so dishonest. He says, in the future, I believe this misbegotten episode regarding hydroxychloroquine will be studied by sociologists of medicine as a classic example of how extra scientific factors overrode clear-cut medical evidence. So what do? You better pray, and you better follow the truth, no matter where it leads you. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.